four-term Oklahoma City Mayor Mick Cornett's new book, The Next American City, examines the creative ways that mid-sized cities across this country are reinventing themselves and reshaping the American dream. Along the way, his writing reveals the secrets to his own city's rise from the depths of an economic depression in the 1980s to its rebirth today as one of the nation's most vibrant urban centers, alongside similar stories of success and creativity from other cities in this growing group of mid-market centers of innovation. Again, the name of the book is The Next American City, The Big Promise of Our Mid-Sized Metros, and it's a pleasure to welcome Mayor Mick Cornett to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. It's good to be with you.
Very nice to have you on the program. What got you thinking about the promise of our mid-sized cities?
Well, I obviously spent a lot of time studying Oklahoma City and its ascension and the things it did right, the things that it struggled with. And as I traveled the country talking about that and other issues, I realized that there are success stories in these mid-sized metros all over the country. You can also see from the Census Bureau and these population demographic shifts that it's mid-sized metros and smaller communities that are going to benefit most from the millennial generation and the generation coming in just behind them. They're looking for a different experience than my generation did. They're looking for cities that can create a city where people want to live, where the American dream is still alive. And I think that's where cities the size of a lot of upstate New York can benefit from.
When it comes to using your city as an example of Oklahoma City, using that as an example, how applicable are the challenges that you face to other cities, mid-sized cities throughout this country?
Well, I think every city's different. And, there's a lot of inner city discussions and community leaders travel around the country and look at other cities and what they've done. And we certainly had a lot of community leaders come here to see what we've done. But at the end of the day, you can only do so much to copy other people's success. You have to figure out how to do it in your community. Generally, that means tapping into the leadership that's already there, private sector leadership, neighborhood leadership, people that have positive energy and want the community to do better. And then the elected officials have to help unleash those opportunities and make sure that those private sector leaders or people in the community who want to do more have opportunities to do more. What it really comes down to is creating a better city and a better place to live, a less car-centric environment, a more urban environment, and reaching out to people to make sure that everyone feels included. I don't think a community can be inclusive enough anymore. I don't think they can be transparent enough. Those are kind of the new expectations. But for the communities that can get it right, there's a lot to be gained going forward. And I think there's going to be a lot of jobs created across the country and kind of industries and businesses that we haven't even thought of yet.
As we see the population grow in our mid-sized cities in this country, what's driving that, do you believe?
Well, there's an urbanization going on all over the world. I mean, wherever people live, their tendency is to move to a place with more people. And so there are people that are living in New York, for instance, in very small communities, and it's likely that many of those are going to end up moving to a place with more people. Now, whether or not that's Albany or that's New York City, that's part of the equation that's out there. What is the quality of life? What type of planning are we doing today that's going to help us compete for these highly educated 20-somethings that are going to have options about where to live? And it's about creating the quality of life and creating a city where people want to live. We've spent the last few decades in many communities trying to figure out how we could get big industries or big businesses to move into our communities. And I think the paradigm shift that has almost completed its journey is that the industries will grow where they have a workforce that is willing to live. And so it's about attracting people rather than attracting businesses, because you'll have the economy if you can get the highly educated people to come in.
When you think about that's more attractive to people of going to mid-sized cities than it is of going to large cities such as New York City and Los Angeles.
Absolutely. Percentage-wise, the population growth is going to happen in mid-sized cities more than it's going to happen in the biggest cities.
So when we work ahead and you try to think ahead, to that next generation and the next American city, how do you plan for that? What's the proper way of planning for it? And how do you plan for it when leaders, such as yourself, tend to change?
Well, that's an important aspect of it. Ideally, when elected leaders change, there's a clean handoff. And for instance, if you're talking about mayors, when the new mayor comes to office, they complete the policies and the priorities of the previous mayor and then add their own along the way. I mean, I think that's the ideal equation. Now, that's not going to work in every occasion. Sometimes a mayor runs against the previous mayor and runs against their policies. And so that gets back to that what I talked about earlier, is that not every city is the same. But you need a continuum of leadership, and you need a purpose. And the ideally, the planning continues. Whatever urban planning is underway needs to continue and have its opportunity to bear fruit. You can't keep stopping and starting over and over again and think you're going to have long-term success. It also goes back to we become such a divisive political nation, and we've got to get more people pulling on the same rope. And that's up to elected leaders, too. We need leaders who are trying to bring people together.
Let us talk for a moment about the underserved, the marginalized communities that are a part of any city. And as a city changes, how do you protect those neighborhood communities? How do you preserve those neighborhood communities?
Well, you can't solve all your problems on the same day. And I think it's important that you're always working on these issues. In other words, If you think, well, we're not gonna work on this proactive effort until we solve this, you may never solve that, but you got to continue to address it. And what I'm saying is, you got to continue to build your city and invest in your city and be looking forward at the same time you're working on the day-to-day aspects of neighborhoods that are struggling. In almost any metro area, there's always seems to be one part of the community that's doing well at one time or another, and other parts of the communities that are struggling. And I don't know that that's a solvable equation, but what it points out is that cities and creating a city are on a journey. It's not like you ever get to the destination. You're always building, you're always thinking, you're always planning. And you need people in the community that are interested in being a part of that journey, regardless of which neighborhood they're in.
We hear a lot about political polarization and about the fact that we are gridlocked and politically divided. Certainly that is national, but certainly it also rears its head in cities, certainly cities like Oklahoma City. So how do you believe that cities like your city and other mid-sized cities can overcome that and ultimately hope that then that extrapolates to much of the rest of the nation?
Well, I think it's important. Generally, when we divide up, it's over national issues or state issues. But there's no reason in most cases that local issues have to be partisan or overly politicized. And I've seen in Oklahoma City a lot of instances where you have people who are far to the left of the political spectrum working with people who are far right of the political spectrum on a local issue that they agree on. And that's one of the ways to help bring people together. Local issues need to keep the partisanship out as much as they can. And that kind of punctuates what I was saying earlier, when you need leaders who are willing to work across the aisle and bring people together. Because local issues aren't going to be resolved adequately if there's a lot of finger pointing and a lot of negative energy. And there's a lot of negative energy out there right now in the political atmosphere. The idea is, on the local level, to try to keep it to a minimum, because positive energy creates positive things, and negative energy creates negative things. And you want to be a community that's working and working in a positive manner, because that's the type of community where people want to live.
The name of the book is The Next American City, and I guess I'm curious: is do we have the money for the next American city? I mean, are we are our priorities? Are our priorities in the right place to allow that to happen?
Well, I think you bring up a good point, and I sometimes get way too much credit on being the enlightened Republican mayor, when really the truth is I think we just figured out ways to pay for it. In other words, it wasn't that other mayors didn't want the type of things that Oklahoma City was executing, but we were very creative. We looked at our business capital. We tried to keep debt low. And at the same time, we tried to keep the community moving forward and investing in the city. You've got to keep reinvesting in your infrastructure and in your neighborhoods. And, you know, the idea that, you're ultimately going to solve a lot of these social issues, is something that's probably not doable. You can continue to work on them, but you're always going to have some issues out there. There's always going to be people that are struggling, neighborhoods that are struggling. There's always going to be a school that's falling behind, and you never stop working on those things. But you don't let that keep you from planning and moving ahead on a lot of progressive ideas going forward that are going to have positive benefit. Things that are going to increase the tax base long term and help you better address some of those social issues. You know, there's always people that want to step back and try to stomp on the best new idea. Sometimes that best new idea is the one you need to gravitate toward.
The name of the book is The Next American City, The Big Promise of Our Midsize Metros. The book is published by Putnam. Mick Cornett is the author. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for sharing with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Enjoy your part of the country. Thanks for letting me on.
Thank you very much. Be well. Again, the name of the book is The Next American City, The Big Promise of Our Midsize Metros. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.